Our text for consideration this morning is another gospel lesson, John 6, beginning with verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we go to buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we feast on our picnic today, we pray that you would guide our hearts and minds to know that these things are provided by you, and that we are thankful that you are our Savior. Amen. Picnics. Today the word is picnic. Back when I was a kid, there was a saying going around high school, "What's the word?" And everybody would reply, "Thunderbird." I don't know why, but I said the same thing. Today the word, however, is picnic. With the word picnic, many imagine spreading out a large blanket in a meadow on a warm, breezy afternoon with butterflies soaring and birds singing. Unlimited access to a cornucopia of delights. Watermelon, potato salad, lemonade, chocolate chip cookies. Playing volleyball, tug of war, joining in the three-legged sack race, or ambushing the kids with water balloons. Yes, many of us love summer picnics on the beach, at the park, on a mountain, under the stars, or even in the car when caught in the middle of a thunderstorm. There was a man who was filling up his gas tank in his car, and he had 7 rambunctious kids in the back seats. Someone asked him, "Are all those 7 kids your children, or are you going to a picnic?" The man looked at him and said, "Yes, all 7 of these kids are mine, and no, this is no picnic." Sounds like my wife and I and our 5 children on a trip. I imagine that's what the disciples thought in our scripture passage this morning. This is no picnic. Yet it was really the biggest picnic of all time. The very first church picnic. I know that the book of Guinness Book of World Records says that the largest picnic of all time was some 8,300 people. But our scripture says that there were 5,000 men at this picnic, not including the women and children. And so with a little bit of intellectual forethought, we can imagine there were somewhere around 5,000 women and at least 5,000 children. And rounded off, that makes about 15,000 people. And Jesus looked at Philip and says, "Where can we go to buy food?" Now, Philip was the CPA of the disciples. And I can just see him grabbing his abacus and going, 15,000 people at 2 denarii per meal. Divide that by a month's wages. Lord, 8 months' wages wouldn't be sufficient for each one of them to get a little bite. He had it all figured out. But you see, God's math is different than man's math. When we pass out food, we divide it. But when Jesus passes out food, he multiplies it. Andrew, however, brought a little boy to Jesus. I kind of like Andrew. He was always bringing people to Jesus. This little boy is unnamed, but he gave his sack lunch. It was only 5 pieces of bread and 2 small fish about the size of sardines. You could call it an Israeli happy meal. But he was willing to trust Jesus with the little that he had. And I would have loved to have seen the look in the boy's eyes as he watched Jesus supersize that Israeli happy meal. Human math says 5 loaves and 2 fish divided by 15,000. Impossible. God's math says 5 loaves plus 2 fish times the power of God equals 15,000 full stomachs. That little boy must have thought, my goodness, if Jesus can do that with 5 pieces of crummy bread and 2 smelly fish, imagine what he could do if I give him my life. No, my friends, there are times when life is no picnic. Times when we feel inadequate, insecure, and small. Times when the crowd looks too big, the odds too poor, the work too hard, and the situation too hopeless. There are times when our resources look too meager, our efforts too puny, and our spirits too low. But there's a point when we have to stop looking at the crowds and start handing over the loaves. When one is studying a book by Ken Callahan entitled Living in Peace, he reads a case study about St. John's United Methodist Church. Ken Callahan went in as a church consultant to St. John's. The church had had 37 losing seasons. This is 4 decades of slow declining and dying. The church became preoccupied with the decline. They thought of themselves as a losing team. They had closed in upon themselves. Life was no picnic. They worried about their resources being too meager, their efforts too puny, and their spirits too low. They could see no way to move forward. They had tried this and that with good intentions. They tried every gimmick and gadget, trick and triviality, data and demographic, program and pleasantry that had come down the track. They could not seem to draw people into their church. After all, they were getting older. There were more funerals every year. The church was dying off. More pews were empty. Fewer givers were giving. An anxious spirit had settled over the congregation. Mary was gone. Harold was gone. Wilbur's pew is empty. Sue no longer sang in the choir. And Walter was not there anymore as an usher. And the names went on and on of who was missing. Having trouble with pages this morning. They were nervous and anxious. They were unsettled. There was no peace in the church. At the center of the chancel, though, right above the altar, there was a remarkable stained glass window of Christ standing at the door and knocking. We've all seen that picture, haven't we? Jesus standing at the door. The church understood that the picture in that window, that biblical image to mean Christ standing at the door, knocking, hoping that someone would answer the knock and come to the door and open the door and invite Christ in to their lives. After all, there was no doorknob or keyhole on the outside of the door. We are the ones who would have to hear the knock, and we would have to come to the door, and we would invite Christ in. At that moment, it dawned on Ken Callahan, the consultant, as they were praying in the sanctuary, that perhaps Christ stands at the door knocking, hoping that someone will hear the knock and come to the door and open the door so Christ can invite them out into life. His life, serving in the world. Christ invites us out to his life. Where is Christ serving the world? Serving the world, serving the mission. Where does Christ live and die, is risen again and again? Among the human hearts and hopes God has planted all around us, Christ is in the world. When we are in the world, we are with Christ. Sometimes our focus has been on how to get people into our church, when Christ's focus has been on how to get us out serving in God's world. When Ken Callahan shared his reflections about Christ at the door inviting us out, a gentle calm came over the congregation, a spirit of contentment. A quiet peace descended over the people. When worried about filling the pews, the church was nervous and anxious. No one is drawn to a group of nervous and anxious people. People are nervous and anxious enough. They do not need the mixed blessing of a group that makes them more nervous and anxious. They are looking for a group that is living in grace and peace. That church discovered a mission with children and mission with grandparents. The children thrive and the grandparents thrive. They no longer worried about filling the pews. They focused on filling people's lives with grace and peace. Now, I share this story with you because I am so impressed with the ways you at St. John Lutheran Church and School have answered Christ's invitation to go out into the world, to feed the multitudes with what you have. You gather grocery supplies for the food banks. You sent youth on a work trip to inner city Tennessee, where they taught and led children in tutoring at summer camp. St. John makes quilts and baby caps for hospitals to send overseas. St. John's has gifts available for people in need. We finance and support a wonderful elementary school. And we provide Little Wings childcare for children and parents. And our congregation is fairly good at reaching out to people. Now, I say fairly good, but not great. We can do so much more. And one of our newest members said that he had visited other churches, but chose this congregation because of all that St. John does for the community. He wanted to be a part of a church where he could truly put his faith into action. Now, I share this with you because I want to let you know, as your pastor, how very proud of you I am, and how the Holy Spirit is alive and moving in this place through you. Recently, our pastor moved on. I haven't heard one person panicking about what are we going to do. I haven't seen any nervous or anxious actions. What I have seen is people stepping up and filling the vacant spots and helping with different jobs that need to be done in the church. In our story this morning, Jesus instructed the disciples to serve all the people first. I imagine that some of the disciples weren't very happy with that because they were probably very hungry too. With 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, there would not be anything left over for them. But do you know that after 15,000 people were served, the disciples were instructed to gather up all of the leftovers? How many baskets were there? There were 12. Exactly the number of the disciples. Instead of getting a bread roll and a sliver of fish, the disciples served everyone else, and they each got a basket full for their work. It all began with the boys' sack lunch. This morning, volunteers have set up a wonderful picnic lunch. And I invite any visitors that are here today and members to join us for this lunch after worship at 10:30. I know there are times when it feels like life is no picnic. We may feel inadequate, insecure, and small. But the good news is we worship a God who moves us from scarcity to abundance, a God who blesses us beyond measure. For God will provide. God will provide sun on our face, a song in our heart, and a banquet for our souls. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.